Hi, I'm Katina Horton, the Love and Freedom Toxic Relationship Recovery Coach, and this is the Valley of Grace podcast, helping women reclaim their power, soul, and identity so they will know they are enough. I have a special guest for you today, and her name is Sunshine Griffin. And Sunshine and I are going to talk about toxicity, homelessness, narcissistic abuse cycle, and God's great story of redemption for her life. Before we do that, I just want to give a quick shout out to Timothy Horton for bringing our intro and outro music to us every single week. And without further ado, here is Sunshine.
He was devoured by earth. There was a God. They call him the
Yes, and I put the new collaborative book on there. So what happened is, you know, of course I've had a crazy story anyway of growing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was at the point of God, you know, I felt God saying, you need to write a book. And, you know, I had spoke at a couple different churches. People right. would ask me, like, I never went asking, right? I was mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to share my junk, Lord. I'm going to throw me under the bus.
And right. like, I don't think so. Right.
He said, that is my glory. Mm-hmm. He said, if anyone asks you, you don't say no, because I've sent them, you know, it's not in my own power. And I think that's why it's when you reached out, I'm like, so sometimes I'm like, yes, because you're scared, right?
I know.
So I was just turning in clothes at Plato's Closet and trying to get money because I was a single mm-hmm. mom, you know, three kids. And right. the lady's like, this was the very first time I spoke. She said, you have a story. She says, I don't know what it is, but here's my email.
Oh, she said that to you?
Yes. And she said, I think you're our next speaker at church. I was like,
oh, wow.
I do not know you. And it was the Sylvania Church of God Prophecy. I was like, well, okay. With the name of it, I'm like, okay, maybe she got some gifts. I was like, I said, well, I go, but you don't know. And she's like, but I do, you know, I think you need to send me your story. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. Well, I was supposed to speak down in this meeting room in the basement, mm-hmm. like of the church. And they ended up having something go wrong down there. And they put me on the podium and essentially the pulpit in the front of the church.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And the pastor said, you know what? We got your story and I'm going to give you the whole hour. Right.
Wonderful.
For Sunday morning, I was like, oh my. So I get up there and as I'm up there, I'm sitting there. I have all these things written down and I'm looking out and it's that quiet, like, oh my gosh. And I felt like I was going to get nervous laughter. Right.
Right.
And I'm like, and I, all of a sudden the Lord brings back to me when I was five on the side of the road playing this church bus stop, this little white bus stopped and gave me a Bible, a little Bible, and said, he said, you're going to speak from the pulpit one day.
Mm.
And from all of those little mishaps, I was at the pulpit. Right. And I was like, oh my gosh, God quickened that from 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I just stopped for a minute. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know back then what a pulpit was, but I remembered him saying it at five. He never wrote it down, but it says, sin will keep you from this book and this book will keep you from sin.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that in there and I had a little tiny New Testament, right?
Right.
I kept it. I still have it. I think it's right up there. And so, at this little tiny, and I carried it with me. And so, at the time, he didn't know, you know, I was in an abusive home. I was mm-hmm. with my fourth or third stepdad.
Okay.
You know, I was always alone. And so it's so crazy, all this stuff that I grew up with and then all the abuse. And then I've been on my own since I was 13. So my mom married her fourth husband and he didn't want kids.
Oh, wow.
So she goes, I married him over the weekend. You're going to have to move out.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out, stayed in.
I know you had to be just devastated.
Oh my gosh. I thought, well, there's me going, you know what? He's gross anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, just, he was such a perfectionist. He would just watch you. If you walk on the grass, he'd go straighten it in the yard. Like, it was weird.
Mm.
And I'm like, and well, yeah, I just got out of having the third stepdad, which I called dad, and he was starting to, you know, I was growing up and he was doing stuff to where my mom then was cheating and leaving us, you know, my sister and I with him.
That was
and
the third one.
I was like, are you kidding me? Right. And right. So she's like, kiss your dad goodbye for work. I'm like, mm-mm. Like I, it was just one of those. So I was like, happy to be out. This guy was just emotionally abusive. So I was like, you know what? I think I'd be better on my own. I thought I knew everything at 13. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living in, sleeping in my friend's parents' cars in their driveway. So I couldn't always stay the night because right. someone would get out. So they would leave their cars open. I would sleep there and get on the bus in the morning.
Mm.
I would sleep in tents, boarded up buildings. And this was in Youngstown. So I grew up in Youngstown.
Okay.
It's pretty rough in Ohio. There's, you know, the Bloods and the Crips and the, I mean, there was, you know, there was, well, of course, the Greek and Italian, mm-hmm. all kinds of, right?
So it was a lot of stuff going on.
Very dangerous, but you know, and I didn't know God, did not grow up with the Lord, didn't even know who God was, even though I had that little Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had abused babysitters that took me to churches that were round because they said the devil lived in the dark corners and then would put me in the corner in the basement if I was bad. Like, wow. There was crazy trauma that even started to try and even keep me from God, right?
Okay. Even you left from your home, you know, yeah. thinking that would be safer than you being there. But then it was like it became a magnet to other forces that you hadn't even dreamed of.
Yes. And I was drinking. I thought I could, you know, date. I was 16. I started dating a guy that was an abandoned at a bar. My friend, mm-hmm. Parents owned a bar. So I was there all the time, learned how to play pool. I was hustling for money,
right?
You know, making money playing pool. And so started dating an atheist that was 21. Mm-hmm. I was 16. Mm-hmm. And
okay, so that's what, 5 years.
I am telling you, right? So 5 years apart, how God had, how he even got me through from all of those things. I still didn't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Was drinking all the time at the bar, growing up that way. Of all things, by the time I was 19, my the atheist boyfriend's mom was a Christian, but she never mentioned God.
But never mentioned God.
She just
all
loved
3
me.
3 years.
Yeah, loved me, let me sleep there, you know, sleep with her son. I was drinking. I was doing all kinds of things, but she mm-hmm. never judged, right?
Right.
But she loved me in it. And then she said, I have a mother-daughter banquet at church. And she has 3 sons. She goes, I don't have a daughter. Do you want to go? I just wanted a mom. I was like, yeah.
Right.
So I went and I learned about who God was. Mm-hmm. And it just, that wrecked me that somebody would love me like that.
Right.
Despite, you know, thinking I was less than, right?
Exactly. Oh,
and so I'm telling you, I was like, okay, that wrecked me. And I left there and I started going to church every Sunday. Mm. So as they were doing these altar calls, it's a little tiny Bible church.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Just As I Am.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And,
yes.
And every altar call, and they're saying, anybody who doesn't know Jesus, my heart's pounding out of my chest every Sunday. And I rejected. I was like, I am not going up there. But I would start crying every time and leave in the middle
of that. Every time they play Just As I Am.
You know, they had to say, oh, there goes sunshine. I'm like, wait for it. For 2 months. Mm-hmm. I did it for 2 months. Mm-hmm. I did not know that I felt him calling me, but I couldn't do it because I felt like I didn't want anyone to know. Right.
Right.
So finally, guess what happened? So Easter comes and I learned that he died, that Jesus died for me. And that mm-hmm. broke me, that someone would love me that much to lose their life. And I couldn't take it. I just ran to the front and I said, they're like, do you believe? I said, I need this Jesus person.
Right.
And it was almost like an instant download from heaven. That I knew that I said, I don't know how to live. I didn't know I was abused.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was doing was wrong. Mm-hmm. Didn't know my body was precious. None of that until that minute when I'm on the altar steps crying, saying, I don't know how to live. It was like he showed me everything that had been done to me and how wrong it was.
Mm.
And talk about a conversion process.
Really?
You know, that broke me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't know my body's precious. No one discipled me either after that.
Right.
So I just thought, I kept praying every day for my salvation because I thought I lost it.
I see what you're saying. Right. You didn't know, like, you had it. You were secure. Yes, yes, yes.
I was like, oh, shoot. So I tried not to sin so bad. And I'm like, I was at the bar and I'm telling the, now I'm at the bar, same place. Cause I still don't know exactly that's not really the way you should be treating your body. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling the guy on the stool next to me about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there sharing, you know, I was discipling. And so I'm like, well, you know what, if I drive home tonight, I said, we're all drinking, but I'm like, I'll drive. Cause I'm going to heaven.
Right. Oh my word. Isn't that something?
And so the simplicity of what, you know, thinking I'd lose it, I got, so Mother's Day came and there was baptism right after Easter. So I got baptized and I felt like it was holy water, right? So I wouldn't even shower for 3 days because I didn't want that water to be gone off of me.
Right.
I mean, the simplicity of salvation just blows my mind when I go back now and think about it, because now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and gifts and other things, but it was so simple and so... that sacrifice. And then I was like, God, why didn't I have parents? And then I started asking him those questions and he's like, I was there the whole time. I saw you pull the daisies and he loves me, he loves me not. I saw you, your first steps. I was there for all of that. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you just have the honor of being raised by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes. Like you said, the Holy Spirit, you know, you had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit helping to raise you. And to parent you and to give you what you didn't have from home.
Yes. And he said, you know what? He said all that stuff. Cause I said, well, there's alcoholism in my bloodline. There's all these things. And he said, your bloodline now is mine.
Amen. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Right. He said that DNA, that stuff. He's like, no, who is my mother and brother? And you know, who is,
mm-hmm.
So at that time, you know, I started to let him in. I didn't know authority. So it was very hard. That's why I said it's a miracle. Thank goodness that I was broken and soft and I never hardened myself. I never hurt myself or did hard drugs or thought of prostitution. God protected my mind from joining gangs, from being an atheist. I mean,
yes. He protected me. Especially since her son was an atheist. It was divine protection for sure.
So I broke up with him, of course, after four years. And she says, because he wouldn't ask me to marry him. I was 20, you know, and she goes, you're not supposed to leave my son. And I said, I don't want this life.
Right.
I said, it's not about love. I love him.
Right.
But there is something different for me. I've been different all along. Mm-hmm. I've been set apart and there's something more.
Yes. But that's so something you realized your value.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like God is like, and he said, and I said, okay, if you're my father, then I'm a princess because you're the King of Kings.
Exactly.
I said, so wait a minute, I'm royalty. I mean, they stand a little taller and walk a little different. I said, but they still, you know, it's being grounded, you know, keeping your head in the heavens and walking on the earth and loving people. I said, so he taught me that time doesn't heal, but love does.
It sure does. You're absolutely right. Because when they say that quote, time heals all wounds, that it's is not true.
It is,
you know,
not true.
You can carry stuff for 40, 50, 60 years, and it can still feel like it's yesterday. So it's not that it's time. You know what I'm saying?
It's so true. Yes.
You can carry that, you know, bitterness. And some people will carry it like it's a trophy. You know, we could walk around like, look at what I got. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You know, I got to tell you, so I was doing some things. I was kind of a flight risk for relationship. I would leave people before they could leave that abandonment issues.
Ah, okay. Like I'm out of here first. So you get that seed of abandonment and probably what, maybe a seed of rejection too?
Yes.
You know how that abandonment.
I didn't have a voice. All of that. It kept my voice quiet. God said, you're a mouthpiece for me. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like Gideon or somebody need to speak for me or and so God said, you know, in 2020, he said, you're going to, you know, COVID came and I was doing suicide prevention for teenagers, kids that were, I was a cutter. I was an unsuccessful, thank goodness, tried to kill myself since I was 12. And I was like, I can't even do that right. I mean, I really felt like a failure. I had no idea what God was doing. But I was making bad decisions and I still had bad fruit. And And I felt like, you know, and I was like, but I was a street kid. And then God said, that is not your identity. You're using that to make bad decisions. You're justifying your behavior from who you used to be. I'm like, dang it.
That is so true. That is so true.
I can't do that anymore. He says, you are a pure, holy woman of God. And that is not who you are. So you can't make these decisions and say, oh, well, I was a street kid and use that anymore. That was that victim kind of thing. And that's why. So I went into the juvenile detention centers and I was talking to these kids and they're like, what do you know? And they're like this. And I'm like, well, let me tell you.
Right. You'd be surprised at what I know at this point.
I said, oh, you know, I had a gun to my head from a boyfriend at 15 on the streets. I mean, there were some, they tried to put acid LSD in my food because I wouldn't do drugs. I couldn't eat anything. Like I had to not even drink the milk.
Right.
Where I was staying because they're all doing this stuff and think it's funny.
And you know, you couldn't trust whether or not that, you know, you had a solid drink. Yeah.
I had to keep myself
water out of the faucet. That's it, huh?
Oh, I'm telling you, I was like, so just that protection, you know, I didn't like the feeling of not being in control. So I was, my mother would give me medication, like between 11 and 12. So I wouldn't cry and go to school because there was so much stuff going on at home. Oh. She didn't want anyone to find out. So she would drug me.
So she drugged you.
Yeah. So that I wouldn't say anything and I wouldn't cry. I would try and cry. And I was like, wow, this stuff really works. And I looked it up
what
later.
What was it, like some anxiety medicine?
Antidepressants, anxiety combo. And she would just give me, like, cut it up and say, here, take this.
Oh, wow.
I was like, so
without
that I didn't.
Without you even being seen by a professional psychiatrist or anything.
Yeah. I was put on Zoloft. I was put on some other things. And they're like, you're just in a well of pain. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I honestly did.
Who said you were in a well of pain?
Like the doctor. The doctor. He's like, you need to take this medication. You need the.
And oh, your mother had already told him that. So she had already filled his head with whatever she wanted him to know. Not knowing that this was a cover up for her to keep you quiet. And basically kind of like out of, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't let anybody know from school that I didn't have parents. So I wasn't allowed to be in any sports. I couldn't be in anything. Couldn't be in any, you know, I had to protect them. They taught me police were bad. I didn't know anything about the truth. I thought you get beat with a belt when you're bad. Mm-hmm. Or my mom was hit in the face. You know, he hit her in the face in front of me. I'm like, oh, she must have done something wrong. And that was normal.
Now, which husband was this one?
That would have been the third one. He did a lot of physical abuse with us, you know, with me and my mom. Okay. Then he got more, of course, sexual because I was getting older. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't his, even though he was the only one I called dad, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, after I got on my own, I had I would still pick these abusive boyfriends, right?
Your brain went to what was familiar.
Yes. And they needed me and I felt small, right? I didn't have a voice. So I tell you what though, when I ended up going through divorce in 2015 and I looked at my kids and that was a major turning point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to finish school. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go back to college. I already had an associate degree. Mm-hmm. I graduated, believe it or not, I still graduated high school, top 4% of my class.
Even though you weren't at home anymore and you were living out on the street and everything.
All different places and I still graduated top of my class, went to college for 15 months and had my associate degree with honors with that. And then, you know, started working contract work with different companies and doing well. And then met a guy at work, got married and had my three kids. Mm-hmm. And then sin entered in there, even loving God. You know, it was just something to do. It wasn't really out of your heart. It was part of religion more so.
I was about to ask you, was it like Methodist holding up an image? You know how you can be
it
so
was.
Caught up into image type of thing?
I said, well, did you ever accept Christ? Was there a moment where you could stake in the ground and say, I know I'm going to heaven?
Right. Or,
and he's like, no, we just always knew. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. And I said, wait a minute. And he goes, well, you just don't know the Bible because you didn't grow up with it. Let me lead. Right. And it became very controlling.
So you were thinking he was right at one point, right?
Yeah. So he's like, you just don't know any better. It's okay. I'm your, you know, your lifeline. I'm like, okay.
Your lifeline. Oh my word. So he was taking a, so he thought he was God in essence.
Yes. Yep. And so what God said, I tried to keep him and not let him leave.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, here's the cross. Here's you. Here's him. Now you've went around me and you're holding on to him mm-hmm. when he will never come back to me if you don't let him go.
Gotcha.
Get back on your side of the cross.
Right.
You've now put your marriage as an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Get back over here and let me rescue you. You know, this, I didn't realize that marriage would have ruined me for the kingdom. And being in the way that I was, I would have been very bound. I was very controlled. You know, I was becoming cynical and it just was ruining me as a, you know, and then I got sick. I had a dream that, there was a, the lion was outside the house and mm-hmm. I was going around. I was trying to shut the windows before he could get in and he scooped mm-hmm. up a dog and ate it real quiet outside, kept mm-hmm. walking. By the time I got to the bedroom, he came out of the bedroom right past my husband in the dream and was going to eat me. I had to jump into the one room that was next to me. It was a bathroom with no windows. I'm like,
wow.
So I shut it and I'm like, what is going on? And I ended up with, I had a tumor. Went into the hospital. They said I had phalloides sarcoma. So I had 10 months to live.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a minute. And God said, you're out from under the umbrella of protection of your home.
Mm.
The enemy came right past. You have no protection with your husband. He's not following me.
Mm.
There was some, and I had taken the leadership, which was not honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was kind of sidestepping and kind of, I was being the leader and it wasn't the right place. So I apologized. He's like, well, can I remarry, you know, if you die? And I'm like, sure. He just wasn't really what I said. Will you pray for me? He's like, did you pray? I said, yeah. He goes, then that's good enough. Like he wouldn't even pray for me. There's mm-hmm. a lot of spirits in the house. The kids were having night terrors.
Oh, I can believe it. Yeah. Cause now did you, and how long did it take for you to realize that you were in a toxic relationship? You would say,
well, it took me being sick to where they gave me 10 months. And I look at my kids that were, my daughter was 3 and my twins were 7. And I went, oh my gosh, like, I need you to show up, God. I said, I know that you died, not just for salvation, but healing. I said, I need a miracle. You said my DNA belongs to you. I remember that. I'm going to call on what you said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was 33. So from 19 to 33, I'm like, I remember those things now. You're bringing mm-hmm. them all back because he got me desperate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was laying on the couch and I had a dream that a little piece of gravel pushed its way out of my breast into my hand, a little black piece of gravel. And I'm like, and there was a hole with water coming out of it. And I'm like, what in the world? So in my dream, I go to the hospital and the doctor said, it's taken care of. Go home. And I was like, God, what is that? And he said, I took the cancer out. And this water is purifying you because you're mine. Mm. He said, you need to get a hold of your health. Number one, the enemy has it. So this tumor had to come out either way because it was a 2.5-inch diameter, but I took mm-hmm. the cancer out of it.
Mm.
He said, so now you're going to be a mouthpiece for me. It's time to speak. It's time to take control. I need you here a long time to do your work.
Mm.
He said, and you're falling apart and you're 33, right? Mm-hmm. He said, you need to wake up.
Gotcha.
So I had got a phone call within 3 days and the Mayo Clinic called and said, we got your tumor from the biopsy that showed the phalloides sarcoma and they don't match. They said the tumor has no cancer in it.
Praise God.
I was like, and you still get surprised when God comes through, right?
I know, like, even though we know what his word says, it's still like, it's enough to like knock you off your feet.
He took the death sentence off of me. Mm-hmm. They gave me a death sentence.
Mm.
He said, now it's time to wake up. Let me rescue you. And I got to tell you, within a short amount of time, I had the church come in and pray while my husband was at work.
Mm.
They anointed the bed. They prayed over everything. And he was so uncomfortable when he came home. He called a friend, had me run to the store, and he moved out while I was at the store.
You kidding?
Mm-mm. He wow. couldn't even stay in the house.
After I was. They like, got through praying.
Yeah. I said, what happened? I called the pastor. I said, what? it went the wrong way. I thought you were saving my marriage.
He went the way God wanted it, not the, you know.
He goes,
don't we often think that we get, you know, it makes me even think about with my marriage. You know, when I was married, I am thinking I'm saving the marriage. And God's like, no, baby, I'm saving you.
Yes, he said, reconciliation of divorce. Divorce happens to you. Your purpose is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to you. It's temporary. I do hate it.
Right.
But it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that reconciliation of divorce is with me. It is not with him. I'm like, oh.
Right.
He's like, let me save you. And I was like, you guys, so the pastor's like, no, we prayed him out. I was like, what?
Oh, so the pastor said that is what they did.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, oh my goodness. No wonder they kept me out of there. I was the pastor's wife was talking to me in the living room, and the leaders of the church and the pastor went in my bedroom, went in a
coat. Isn't that something? And so he came home and when you went to the store and he had taken all his things and left.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. And the kids, I felt bad because they were home. They watched it. And they're like, dad's like left. He took the bed of all things, the bed.
Yeah.
The bed, the TV, like all the big
That's stuff. Odd.
All the big things, and left us with the little stuff. And I thought, you know what, I got to go with God. Well, when I decided to go back to school, this is where this whole thing exploded. So I knew I was going to end up writing a book eventually from that first time I talked. Right.
Right.
But I just graduated. Let's see, it took 5 years. So from 2015 to, or 2016 until I just graduated in April. You know, I started to, since I was doing suicide prevention, I was a youth leader at church, you know, kind of more deliverance too, you know, really praying for some heavy stuff that the church didn't understand. They're like, oh, bring Sunshine. She has experience. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't want to pray for someone that's had this lifestyle. I've had this perfect life. That's what the youth pastor would tell me. I'm like, it's just a person. They're broken. Right.
Right. So,
anyway, doing all that work, you know, God said, you can magnify your voice. Let's, you know, do some online. So I started thinking sunshine.com and started the social media and sharing my story and doing little things here so that those kids, I was on call for about 63 kids for suicide prevention so that they could have daily encouragement.
Then
it turned into college kids. Then it turned into veterans. Then it turned into executive stuck as a 6-year-old broken. And I thought, what in the world? So I started doing executive coaching after, as an internship between my associate degree and my, bachelor's in 2019, and worked, for a homeless shelter for a year to shift the culture there.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their executive. So I trained the staff and loved them and taught them everything from fundraising to caring about the person, and looking at them broken. And in survival mode, because I lived in survival mode my whole life. I said, there's a poverty mindset when you grow up poor. I mean, you always, but I got to tell you, I just am coming out of the mindset. I'm finally stepping out of poverty. And I told the kids, I said, but there's a poverty mindset. I was still living in survival mode, even though I just have gotten my first couple checks.
Right.
That I need to change, because I'm still trying to, you know, live in this way that I don't have the abundant life with Jesus. And it kept everything kind of locked down in my voice. I was always quiet and afraid to speak. And so as I graduated as a non-traditional student, the newspaper found out just that I graduated as a mom in my 40s with 3 kids, teenagers.
And which degree was this with now?
So I just got my degree in information systems and business analytics and intelligence. So I got 2 degrees.
Wow. 2 masters or?
2 bachelor's degrees.
Okay. Wow. At one time. That's awesome.
Yeah. I got my little thing back here, and I graduated, with a 3-point, let's see, I was magna cum laude. So 3.75. So I know I didn't even care, but I was like, what, I'm honors? And so anyway, the newspaper came and interviewed me and wrote the article and posted it on my graduation day. And I thought, you know, I applied for GM, and I had the Department of Defense. I had all kinds of offers.
And you were in your 40s. That So once they put the article out there, that led people to start looking to you.
Well, you know, as soon as I posted on LinkedIn, there was a group called The Female Lead.
Mm.
They have 3 million plus followers, and they pick women in the global like influencers, and they share their statuses. They picked mine.
Really? That was a God thing.
I had favor with this group, and they shared it. It went global. Hundreds of thousands of people saw my post about graduation in April. It took me 2 weeks to respond to 2,000 messages that I got in my box.
Wow. God set you up for sure. I mean, he gave you all that favor when you finished. Like you said, a single mom with 3 kids in your 40s.
And they didn't even know that I went through abuse and that I survived.
Right. Survived abuse. Yeah.
I mean, the trauma, my own and, still not having parents or just growing up with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was mind blowing, honestly. And then so a couple of podcast people came up and said, hey, could you, in the UK, I became somewhat of a little celebrity in the UK. It was
that
weird.
Is so cool.
And so now then this publishing company reached out to me and the book that I put on my website, they said, would you write a chapter in here? It's due in a week. These other women have had 6 months to write.
Right.
You have a week to give me something, but I think you need to be in here because your story is getting pulled everywhere. And I think you should be a published author because that's going to add to you. That's your value.
Yep.
And I said, okay, I'll do it. I wrote it in a day. And it's all about God resurrecting that dream of a little girl being Cinderella, wanting to be loved, and God's character being sown in me so I didn't carry shame about wanting to be beautiful and accepted. And that's what it's about.
That is a beautiful story. Oh, my goodness. How would you define a toxic relationship? I always ask everybody that question. Mm-hmm.
Toxic relationship involves a couple things would be, of course, the abuser, any kind of mental, physical abuse,
mm-hmm.
the controller that tries to control everything and tell you that, what you're doing is not effective or not working. Or I had, someone tell me you're not a good mom. I'm like, wait a minute, that is a lie to try and gain control or yelling just to get you to be quiet. There's control even over that.
Yep. I agree. Yep. That's a form of bullying. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the abandoner. So if they leave once, they're going to leave again. I hate to say it. I don't ever go backward because of that. I said, if you walk out, make sure. Because I don't go backwards.
Mm-hmm. I'm like that too. I said, once God has rescued me out of Egypt, I'm out of there.
And, and then, of course, narcissism, which is switching everything. So when it switches and then they're the victim, when you're upset and all of a sudden now they're upset and you're fixing them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, wait a minute. You're the one who messed up. And then you catch it.
Right.
When you can't have feelings and it turns into they get offended and now you're trying to explain yourself. So when you're not allowed to be free to feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love all of that. Oh, my goodness. Yes. those are all really good. And like you said, it'll be something that starts off that they've done. And then in order to not have the mirror up to them, the next thing you know, they flip it around, they gaslight you and flip it around. And next thing you know, you're left in the conversation with you feeling guilty about a conversation that started off with talking about their actions,
Yes, I'm like, wait.
Right, like how did this script get flipped on me? But it started off with something inappropriate that they did or controlling, whatever, you're setting a boundary. And then it's like, well, you're insecure and jealous. And then you're like, wait, how do we get from that, from what it is you did? So then you start taking those feelings,
Mm-hmm. And when you love yourself, and I've learned that to set boundaries for my own safety and my own health, then they take it as control. They're like, you're so controlling.
Yes, like, no, that's what they call you, controlling, when you set boundaries. Yep.
This is my safety. This is what I'm doing. If you just let me go if you're not okay with that. And they never do.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather be alone than be with the wrong person.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my word. So I got 4 rapid fire questions. Think of one song you love.
A song would be Gratitude by Brandon Light.
Oh, wow. Gratitude. Two books.
Let's see. Two books would be, I'm actually, Captivating, Dridge. And it's about, yeah, being free to be the woman that God made us to be. And probably, I'd have to say, the Bible.
Amen. I gotta say the Bible.
You know what? That is the book of life. And if we, you know, God will drop the scales and we're, all of a sudden we can understand it. And it's like, wait, you just spoke to me.
Yes. Amen.
Change. I've seen the lights.